Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
So we're going to read from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, then verses 16 through 24. I'm not even going to try to get all the message in today. I'm just giving you a little kind of an introduction, and we'll work from there. So reading, and you get the responding verses behind me on the screen. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And when we had gone through Persia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So passing through Mysia, they came to Troas. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to believe or observe. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Verse 24 together. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just want to just begin today with this discussion about heeding the Spirit of God, and sometimes it doesn't turn out the way we thought. Lord, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit all we want to, but Lord, it doesn't mean that we're going to have perfection on everything. And sometime we'll go to the valley, even the valley of the shadow of death, but Lord, you never leave us. You never forsake us. Lord, as we look into your word today, there's something things that we will learn, even about things that we would even deem them controversial. We deem them as things we don't even want to talk about. But today we're going to see your Holy Spirit in a whole different light. Even though we're filled with you, God, there's some things that need to be conquered in us. And so, Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit today, you would direct us and put us in that right place where we know more about you. We thank you for this. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. It'd be easy to assume that once you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, that you do everything right. You say everything right. And I'm going to bring up just a few issues that are in the Bible that will help you to understand that it really isn't that way. Matter of fact, by living in submission to his promptings, we should always be in alignment with the things that he would want us to say and to do. I believe the success of Jesus' ministry was hinged upon the principles that were followed by those who were willing to be participants, actually, in the first miracle. Let me just review that for you for a moment. The very first miracle that Jesus performed, he's at a wedding feast of all places. And the commandment was, you know, they ran out of wine. We know the story about this. But the profound words of his mother said this: whatever he tells you to do, do it. I think when we find ourselves having problems and difficulties, when we just kind of analyze what Jesus told us to do, it doesn't make sense. put water in empty, or, you know, fill empty vessels with water. So the end of the story is that they did what he told them, and the miracle came. But I want to ask you some questions today as we just kind of launch into this whole thing, because it paints a picture for us of how the Holy Spirit works with people in their imperfectness and adjusts them to do the things that he wants to do. First question would be this. Do you know that every obstacle that you face to minister may not be coming from the devil? It may be coming from you. Or your sweet little love muffin that you married. Oh, she's a sweetie. He's a hunk, but I'll tell you what, they don't always do what they're supposed to do. And this doesn't take anything away from it, but there's a part of us that God is trying to refine to us, and the Holy Spirit is going to do his part, but we have to be attentive to what he's doing. Second thing, have you discovered the gift of discernment is the one gift that is designed to either protect or prepare you for what is to come? There are several places in Scripture you'll find that Holy Spirit gives words to Paul, and you're going to find this in this particular situation. He does the same thing. But it wasn't necessarily what he wanted to hear or what he wanted to experience. Well, let me move quickly on to number three. Your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit can put you in direct conflict with the powers that prevail in this world. And that's the part where we all get kind of messed up. I know some of you are wondering, are you going to comment on the latest Supreme Court, edict? I'll tell you this, God hasn't changed his mind about anything. God doesn't change his mind about anything. We try to reclassify and reword and reorganize all type of stuff. God has already written it down. And so I don't even spend time with that today. And at another time, I'll give you some more of the logistical type things of what you can expect in the future. But I want to get right into the message. And it says, learning how the Holy Spirit guides. And we'll have to go to John chapter 16, verse 13. This is what the Word of God says. However, when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Wow. Not only is that a guarantee, but it's the thing that we can really believe, that the Holy Spirit will do some things, but we have a responsibility to heed the direction he's giving us. Now, let me just back it up a little bit. I won't read through the particular text, but let me tell you what happened before this. In the Bible, the Bible tells us about things that happen to people who are filled with Jesus that don't make good decisions. And I want to let you know, Paul was one of them. What? The Apostle Paul and Barnabas had a falling out right before this happens. I mean, it was a knockdown, drag out, like, well, if that's what you're going to do, I'm going my way, you go your way, and we're done. Let me help you with that. How can two people being filled with the Holy Spirit end up in such controversial places? What was it about? It was about a young gentleman named John Mark, who had gone with them on one of their evangelistic crusades. And John Mark was young, and he's kind of impetuous, and he kind of got scared, and he wanted to go home to mama. And he did. And so they're about ready to launch another campaign. And so Barnabas says, well, let's bring John Mark over, my dead body. That boy ain't going nowhere with me ever again. I am done through with you, I'm done. And the Bible says, and I want you to read this when you get home, the controversy was so strong, and Paul dug in his heels, that they basically, Barnabas and Paul, ended their relationship as far as being co-heirs in the kingdom of God. Barnabas takes this young fellow, and Paul says, Silas, you want to go win the world for Jesus? And honestly, that's what happened. Now, I'm reading between the lines for a reason, because how is it that people can be filled with the Spirit and make such horrendous mistakes? I'm asking you that question. You feel the Spirit, and Lord help you and help me, because we come over with some stuff that's beyond imagination. But the deal is this, that God still will work it out. The Bible says he will guide us into all truth, into all righteousness. We have to be willing. Here's the problem. We have to be willing to be led. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. If you're not willing to be led by, I don't care what kind of inclinations you're getting, it's just not going to work. So he will allow us, the Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth. He will allow us to discover truth about ourselves. That's the first information you're going to get. Yea, verily, you are a knucklehead. Oh, yes. You may be saved, but you're still a knucklehead. Grandma used to say it like this, your head's hard as a hicknut. I don't know what a hicknut is, but I know it's hard. But life will change you. Situations will change you. And it's to soften you in the very presence of God to be all that he's intended for you to be. Let me move a little bit further. Paul had just suffered the greatest loss of his life in this controversy. And he has been released by, here's the deal that will save every single one of us. They were both released to the grace of God. Every single person, myself included, in this room has been operating under God's grace. Because if God's grace wasn't in place, this place would be empty. Do you hear me? If God held us accountable for all the stuff we said we were going to do, or we said we weren't going to do, and then we did anyway, empty. So he's been released to the grace of God. The Holy Spirit will open and close doors for his divine purpose. And so now we come into our text here. I just kind of fast forward to this. And this is what's amazing. It starts off in this particular place. So he's gone to Persia and this type of thing. But they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. What's up with that? I thought it's always good to preach the word. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go there. And what about the scripture that says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believes is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. That's in the word of God. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go. I want to help us today that sometimes we have a greater vision about ourselves and our ability than God does. We have a greater estimate of our value of what we have to say and how we can say and how profound we are and how anointed we are and how available we are to the word. And so I just need to go over there and tell those people and get things all aligned. God says, no, shut up. Don't you say a word. I'm going to go over there and say, no, you're not. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to, no, you're not. God says, if you're smart, you're going to do what I tell you to do. See, having been involved in the Spirit's persuasion, Holy Ghost persuasion, I've seen a lot, and I have no reason to even to vilify any person who has been disobedient, because I think I've been disobedient as well. I know I have been. But I will tell you this much, that the Holy Spirit will open and close doors. We may suffer pain and loss while he is at work in us. Oh, that's cheery. Pain, loss. Do not vote on this. We don't want to know, but I'm just going to ask the question. How many of you have suffered a lot of pain since you got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have suffered loss since you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't raise your hand. But I'll tell you this much. It doesn't mean you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit was doing something through that pain and doing something with that loss that was necessary for it to happen to you. God never wastes anything in your life where it's not going to work out for his good. If you believe Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. I will say God doesn't waste anything that's happened in your life. To my brothers here kind of struggle with little drugs and this type of thing, God's going to use it for your own good. It's time to lay it down and move on, but I will tell you, he'll use it for your own good. You'll have a testimony that nobody else will have of how God picked you up, turned you around, and did something different in your life. Because see, some of you say, you know what the devil tells? The devil says, you'll never be any good. You'll never be successful. That's a lie. God says, I'm going to use everything the devil meant for evil, I'm going to turn it around for good. Somebody better shout hallelujah. It's about to happen. He will say no to some things that we believe are great opportunities. We're in a generation of people that don't like to hear no. Especially children. You have to find a way to create positive ways of communication with your children so you won't crush their spirit. Mama didn't care nothing about that. Mama would crush your behind if you didn't behave. But we don't want to wound them. We want to communicate to them on a level where we can win them over and win their trust. She wasn't interested in that. Obedience was on the program. I'm not talking about abusive things. I'm talking about that God uses those things in our life. But he will say no to things that we believe are great opportunities. Because I find out that at certain points in our life, our assessment of reality is skewed. And it needs to be perfected by God and God alone. Furthermore, I would add to that this idea. Our strong urges and feelings mixed with a desire to do great things for God will be challenged by the final authority of the Holy Spirit to say no. Because he's saying, wait a minute, they want to go to Asia. They want to win people to Jesus. Who wouldn't say yes to that? Well, it gets a little bit better in the next verse. It goes on. And they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. That's two no's in a row. God said no, and he said no. And some of you are wondering right now, what's going on? And you know the very first thing you'll come to is, I must not be hearing from God. Work with me. I want to go there and witness to people. God says no. I want to start this new campaign or this new ministry that's going to help people, help the homeless and this other type of thing. God says no. I want to take something and install in your life to do not be afraid of no. Let me add a little addendum to that. Not now doesn't mean never. And God has timing. And he's going to work and perfect those things concerning you. And there's some things that God was working out. And it may be that he would never go to that part of Asia. As far as we know, he didn't. But there's some things that he had in store for him, and the next few verses kind of unfold that. It says, when we are in the flow of the Holy Spirit, he will use our intelligence and emotions to communicate what is right and what is wrong. Intelligence, and emotions, two of the most subjective things that there is. Because if you rely on your intelligence, I don't care. God has used stupid people before. Hello. God has used jackasses before. And you can take the jack off if you want to. Hey! He's used people that you would never in your fondest dreams want to be associated with. But you know what I found out? God isn't looking so much at ability as he's looking at availability. And availability is predicated on the fact of you not having an agenda that works contradictory to what God wants to have done. Oh, my goodness. It unwraps a little bit further. It says that the Holy Spirit is in control of all of our being. That's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean he's in control of your being all sometime. It means all the time. You know, there's sometimes, you know, some of the Negro spirituals. I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. I'm sometimes level to the ground. Where did you get that from? I mean, what is your spiritual barometric pressure at that point? My Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And this idea where you have this great gamut of your emotional barometer tells you how well you're going to be obedient to God, it doesn't work like that. It means that, yeah, we're going to go through stuff, but you know what? The Holy Spirit is not depressed or trying to figure things out. He's a constant in your life, and he's able to be tapped into at any particular point, and he'll put you in the right place. But you've got to be willing to listen to whatever he says needs to be done. What does that mean? Being led by the Spirit is a supernatural, natural experience. Now, I have met some kooky spiritual folk. Can I say weird? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, there it comes again. I'm saying, what comes again? Oh, didn't you see it? Haven't you felt it? I'm thinking, ooh. Here it goes again. Oh, there it was. The Holy Spirit will not make you crazy. Help me with this. Now, on the other side, now, before you folks get to applaud too much, there are some times when the Holy Spirit will hijack your emotions. Woo. Some of you die-in-the-wool Presbyterians baptized in lemon juice. That's not my persuasion. I wasn't taught to do that. My hands only went up this high. That's all I'm going to give to God. Honey, you'll be waving like you're waving for a cab when God gets through with you. Because it's not about you. But I'm trying to get this away from the fact where we become the controller of all these things that God wants to do. Well, the Holy Spirit has entrusted all the power of Jesus to guide us to all truth and righteousness. Well, Paul was aware that, of what he had experienced shortly before he came to the crossroads of this decision. And back to that whole deal about the whole John Mark thing. Sometimes you'll dig your heels in on issues. And later on, you'll regret it. I want to help you, some of you, with this, how this whole story ends up with the John Mark thing situation, in case you don't read your Bible enough. Later on, Paul is in jail. In one of those situations where he'd been preaching the gospel and got beat up and this type of thing. He's in jail and this type of thing. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of him at that particular point. He sends for the very person that he had rejected. He says, and bring along John Mark. He'll be profitable to me at this time. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? He'll give you time to grow up. He'll give you time to figure out the people that you discarded a long time ago are necessary for who you are today. See, some of you got to listen, I'll never talk to her ever again. I don't ever need her again. Now, I got one of those experiences. Yesterday, I flew on a particular airline. I'm going to tell you which one. I will tell you which one it is. Spirit Airlines, don't go there. Now, one of the reasons why I went there, I said, maybe it's Holy Spirit. I said, no, it's not. No, it ain't. No, it's not. I'm going to tell you up front, no, it's not. I got to digress for a moment. I'll be back. Okay, here we go. So I'm calling the day ahead of time. I'm trying to find out, what gate I'm at and this type of thing. I call the 1-800 number. I'm on hold for 45 minutes. And guess what happens? They hang up. Of course, the Spirit was flowing through me at that point. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I was going ready to snatch somebody. Oh, it gets better. So I go to the airport and this type of thing and go up to the counter and I said, well, this is my ID and this type of thing. And so the lady says, oh, okay. Oh, you just, it's like a window or so I don't like window seat. And I said, I'm just going to, take my bag with me. I'm going to carry on as far as this goes. She says, that'll be $55. I said, what? $55 if you carry it on, $53 if you check it. I said, oh, I ain't lying. Check the website. Gets better than that. Now, if you don't talk to her ahead of time, and you're in line, and they don't have it on your ticket that you have, you decide to do this, it's $100. Check the website. This is it. I tell you, the Holy Spirit left me at that point because I was ready to hurt someone. You say, what's this got to do? It has to. At any given point in your life, you don't get to take a vacation. and who God is. And my point in this is that the idea is that God can lead it to be a teaching moment. But you know what? The most important thing was, God says, you're forgetting about what's important. You want to get home at a reasonable time. Don't be stupid. Give them the money. And give it with a smile. Boy, I tell you, the give it with a smile was a hard part. But see, sometimes we create things for ourselves. And we forget what the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I wanted to rip that out of my Bible and never, ever hear it again. Salvation teachable moment. Anybody work with me? Ever been there? Oh, honey, this is your day today. Here we go. What am I saying about this? Even though there's tension, the grace of God can prevail in your life. I got to wrap this up in the next couple of minutes because I want to honor the fact that we can fellowship together. But when God says no, there will be a better yes in the future. Aren't you glad about it? It's more than the not now doesn't mean never. But I think if you've learned to condition yourself that God's no isn't for, it isn't to hurt you, but there's something that he has ready for you. The next few verses we find out that after that no came, he comes to this place, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man in Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do you know what God's trying to move you to a place where he can give you a personal vision of your future? Aren't you tired of trying to create your own stuff? I know I am. But when he's seeking God, when he's praying, and I believe that sometimes when we hear no, it should drive us to further prayer of supplication unto God, that God can get through to us and he'll give us vision. And that vision of one, he sees a vision of this person saying, come over to Macedonia. We can use your help. Here's a couple other little things that will help you out of that whole thing. We must be careful not to interpret a no from the Holy Spirit to mean that he does not desire to use us. Can you walk with me through some of the hardest times in my life? I call them many years ago, and I guess those are becoming many years ago because it's been on this road a long time. But the enemy will make you feel like God's forgotten about you. And then there'll be other people that kind of reinforce that. That'll tell you your time's up. But in my darkest hour, as Andre Crouch put it, my Lord, our God told me that I was his own. Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend on his word. Folks, everything that happens in our life will bring us back to that trust in Jesus and dependency on his word. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. And so this word comes forth. He says, and when God does not permit us to do something that we thought was surely his will, we must be careful not to label ourselves incapable of hearing from the Lord. That's the devil's game. I want to talk very seriously to many of you that are sitting in this room today. Some of you may have known Jesus for a long period of time. Maybe some of you a very short period of time. It doesn't matter. I guarantee you the devil's tried it on every single one of you. That wasn't God. Oh, you thought you heard from God. See how this thing worked out? You can't hear from God. God's not even talking to you. Matter of fact, God wouldn't talk to you anyway because you remember what you did last week and God's not speaking to you till you get all this stuff straight. And you get into this swirling confusion of perfectionism of trying to look for stuff that you can repent for so you can hear from God again. Do you know what God will respond to? Lord, save me. Let me just close with this little particular thought. We'll take this up again next week. Peter had an experience, and many of you probably would want to duplicate that. He was in the midst of a storm, and the storm, they're out on the sea, and there's other disciples with him in a boat. And in the midst of the storm, he sees a vision that other people kind of depict as being a ghost. But Peter somehow says, I don't know. But still in his confusion, he says, Lord, if it's really, really you, let me come to you in the midst of the storm. I want to say, first of all, some of you are going through a storm of some terrible circumstances. And you've asked this question, God, if it's really you in the midst of the storm, I need to come to you in the midst of the storm. I need to come to you. I don't care how rough the waters are. Jesus, I just need to be surrounded by you. I need to come to you. I need to know that you care about me. And Jesus does something. And he's saying that same word to you this morning. I'll tell you what he didn't say. Go back and fix all the mistakes you made before you come to me. Clean up your act, clean up your life. You got to talk to a few folks, because before you go come to me, you have to get your act together. Jesus said one word, come. And that's what he's saying to you today. And I want to let you know, in the midst of all the storm that's going on, all the disciples are in the boat. They're kind of saying, Peter, who do you think you are? You out there telling, you think that's Jesus, and you're going to come there, and how are you going to get to Jesus? There's water out there. And Peter's saying, I don't even worry about the water. I won't get to Jesus. The water's not a problem. Whatever it takes to get to Jesus, if I have to drown trying to get to Jesus, I'm going to Jesus. That's what you got to tell yourself. And so he steps out of the boat, and something miraculous happens. When you respond to Jesus, he'll take something that doesn't make any sense. He'll make water a sidewalk. Do you know why he'll do it? So you can get to him. Oh. Imperfect story. Peter's walking on water. Holy Spirit's present at this particular point. And he does what many times we've done the same thing. Take your eyes off Jesus and you start going down. Start looking at the circumstances, start looking at the water, and all of a sudden you start sinking. But he said these words, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down, gets his hands, and they both walk hand in hand back to the boat. Two things I want to tell you about this. Is those people were kind of jeering at Peter and kind of mocking him, saying, oh, who you think you are as far as this is concerned. There's some people that will stay in the boat of safety, but you know, today you need to come to Jesus. And Jesus says, come. Bow your heads with me, everybody. Holy Spirit, just manifest yourself, be so real, because, Lord, this is kind of an introductory of the yes and no. And Jesus, you let Peter, a man who was an absolute failure, one who had denied you, one who denied your existence, of being someone in his life, and Lord, you allowed him to, before he'd even met you, you allowed him to come to you. Lord, we want to walk on the word of your promise to you, on the word come. And Lord, you're saying that to several people here today. It's time for them to get out of their seat, to come to this altar today, to get it fixed, to make it right. And Lord, I cast out all fear, I cast out all doubt, I cast out all confusion, I cast out all former mistakes, I cast out all unworthiness, I cast out all the things that the enemy will tell them that they're not good enough, they'll never be strong enough, they'll just feel like they have before. I cast out all those things in the name of Jesus. that they might hear you. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, there's two things that will happen today. One of some people who've never given their heart to Jesus, other people who've said, you know what? Years ago, or even today in my walk with Jesus, I need to come back to him. I need to help allow him to take control of my life. And I'm willing to come to him and to trust him. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, either of those situations, if that's you, lift your hand right now saying, Pastor, I'm coming today. It's time. Lift it up high where I can see it all over this building. God bless you. God bless you. They're in the back as well. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.